This is Mark Strassman, reporter for the latest vote news. We're about to talk to Thomas W. Fina, who's the Executive Director Emeritus of Democrats Abroad. Welcome to the latest voting news.
Thank you. I'm glad to have an opportunity to talk with you.
Could you tell us just a little bit, by way of introduction, about Democrats Abroad? When was it founded? Who's in it? What it does? That kind of thing?
Democrats Abroad is the overseas arm of the Democratic Party. And we are about to celebrate our 40th anniversary. The organization came into being during the Johnson campaign, and we had, there were Americans overseas, in this case, a lawyer in Toby Hyde, and another lawyer in Paris, Al Davidson, who had organized local committees to support Democrats, and they got together and started the ball rolling. And little by little over the years, we've gained a larger and larger role in the Democrat Party. So that at the present time, we elect six delegates to the National Convention, voting delegates who help to select our candidates for the presidency and vice presidency. We have voting members on the Democratic National Committee, who the organization that governs the National Democratic Party. And we're a worldwide organization spread from Europe to Central America, to North America, Canada in particular, and to the Middle East and to the Far East. So we are now a worldwide organization with thousands and thousands of adherents.
How many adherents?
The last count that I saw, I think we were saying that we had about 12,000 people on our mailing list.
Okay, and they're all registered Democrats, or they're all Democrat identified, or how, what do you have to do to get in?
Well, all we can tell you, honestly, is that they are supporting us in one way or another.
Okay,
you can't really find out what how people vote. We still have the secrecy of ballot, thank goodness.
Well, not in the Michigan Democratic Caucus this week, you don't. But
is that another, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's what they told me. Yeah, but that's another story. But it's good to know that you have it there.
We do, and we have a very active organization. We are having we select our delegates to the National Convention by a caucus system, which works very well for us. And we are having our final gathering in Edinburgh in the late part of March, when we are going to elect the delegates to our National Convention. So it's an exciting period for us. We're getting ramped up for the elections in November.
So all the Democrats Abroad, when they're going to pick those six delegates that they're entitled to under the DN's Democratic National Committee rules and convention rules, they get together like in Iowa, except in Edinburgh and other places, and pick delegates?
We start on a regional basis. There's a regional caucus for the Americas, there's a regional caucus for Asia, and there's a regional caucus for Europe.
Right.
And they elect delegates to each of those regional caucuses, have a group of delegates, and they in turn elect others who then go to our World Caucus in Edinburgh for the selection of our delegates.
Are these caucuses like mini conventions where everyone comes
by?
Well,
in fact, they are, yeah. They're patterned on the Iowa caucus, which is an exceedingly complicated process.
So people stand in different corners of the room, and if you don't have 15%, you have to split into the other candidates and that kind of
thing? That's right. I do not profess to understand or to be able to repeat to you how that's done. But fortunately, we've got a bunch of people who are very much interested in that and who manage the caucus system.
Okay.
And it has worked. It's for a very dispersed organization like ours, it turns out to be the best we can do.
And in fact, these delegates are in addition to everyone who's a Democrat Abroad voting in the states they come from in primaries in those states as well, or instead of that?
Well, people who are overseas citizens who are entitled to vote in the caucus in their state, or rather to vote in the primaries in their states, do so. The election of our delegates is a separate track.
So if a person is a big supporter of one candidate or another, they can both vote for them in the primary in their respective state and vote for them in the caucuses to determine who the six Democrat abroad delegates are.
Well, I think that's right. I don't see how we could prevent that from happening.
Okay. When were you executive director of this organization?
I came in 1985.
Right.
And I resigned in 2001, I guess.
So you were there 16 years.
I felt that I had done it for a while.
That puts you second to Fidel Castro as the longest-serving executive anywhere in the Western Hemisphere.
I'd rather not be in the same category.
Right. Now, how important within what Democrats Abroad do is the voting? Is that most of what they work on, or is it part of it, or how important is that?
Our voting is the single most important thing that we do. Now, we also try to lobby for the interests of the overseas community in various places, various aspects of that, including improving the access to voting and tax legislation and an overseas census and things.
Right.
But basically, this organization came into existence in order to enable overseas Americans to vote.
Okay.
And that's what we do.
And what has your experience been, overall and anecdotally, with absentee voting as it's now being done?
We think there's no doubt that there's been a growth in the number of overseas absentee votes, although there are no statistics on that subject. If you have played around with this at all, you have probably found that there's no state, to my knowledge, at least as of the last election, which collected statistics on overseas absentee voting, which were available to the public. Now, we got that changed. That's one of the things that we accomplished in our Washington lobbying, I might say.
Right.
In the HAVA legislation, the Help America Vote Act,
right.
One of the provisions that we succeeded in getting inserted, and I'm exceedingly proud of that, is a requirement that the states henceforth collect statistics on the number of overseas absentee ballots that they send out and the number that they get back.
Right.
Now that, for the first time in history, will tell us how many people are actually voting and where they're voting. Of course, it won't tell us anything about their party orientation.
Right.
But this will be a tremendous boost for all of us who are trying to figure out how we can improve the collaboration, the involvement of overseas citizens in our electoral process.
Now, HAVA requires that to take place starting this year?
It's supposed to begin this year. Now, you know the difficulties of the implementation of HAVA. I suppose some states will succeed and some states will not.
Right. But there is a mandate now for the states to do that.
Absolutely. There is a mandate, and I don't see any particular problem in carrying it out. In my own state of Virginia, where I'm a member of the State Board of Elections Advisory Committee on HAVA,
right.
The state has moved ahead very smartly to implement the provisions of the HAVA.
Okay. In your experience, and you obviously have been intimately involved with it for quite a while, are the states in general, is it working? Is the current, in other words, with the old slogan, if it isn't broken, don't fix it, are the states getting the ballots out? Are they being filled out? Are they being returned? Or are you saying that only now, with HAVA's mandating the states to do some statistics, will we have any idea about how well that's going?
Our impression has been that the states are doing their best. I think they're making a good faith effort, and they have been for some years, to get the ballots out. There are real logistical difficulties, and some states are better at it than others. One of the problems, of course, is the distance, the time it takes to get a ballot from the state into the hands of the voter and back to the local election officer in time to be counted.
Right.
That is probably the biggest obstacle that overseas voters have. But there is one other very big obstacle, and that is that until the enactment of HAVA, every overseas voter who voted under the authority of the UOCAVA
Let's tell our listeners is the Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act.
Absolutely.
And it sets out. It's okay. Well, it's inside baseball. It's inside voting.
It's called remembering what all those initials mean.
Right.
But that's what it means.
Right. And it sets out who's eligible to.
It's the federal law which establishes the right of overseas citizens to vote in the last district in which they lived.
Right.
In the United States.
Okay.
And it is the key to overseas voting today.
Right.
Now, the problem with that bill has been, and we've had more than 20 years' experience with it, it required every overseas voter to re-register for every federal election cycle.
Right.
Now, that meant that you had to go out and find all these people, all these Americans overseas who are qualified to vote. You had to remind them of the fact that they were eligible to vote, that there was an election coming up, to get the papers to them, the application.
The registration papers.
The application to register.
So,
and that, all of the efforts that we have made in the years that I've been associated with our organization has been to get people to register. We haven't done much campaigning in favor of an individual candidate. We spent all of our money, and that isn't much since we raised it all ourselves.
Right.
We spent all of our money telling people if there's going to be an election and how they can go about registering and applying for a ballot.
Let me try to understand this, Barry. You're saying if someone here in the States, you have to not vote once you're registered, unless you don't vote times, you stay on the rolls in most cases.
Right.
Are you saying that if you're overseas and you vote in 2000, you have to register again in 2002?
That's correct.
Is that still the law?
No. Oh. That is one of the things that we succeeded in getting improved, I won't say resolved.
Right.
The most we could get was an agreement from the Congress that in the future, a registration will be valid for two federal election cycles.
Oh, rather than permanently until you stop voting.
That's right. We had asked and pushed very hard for the same degree of permanency of registration as an at-home voter would get.
Right.
But the politics of the situation didn't permit that, and so when the dust settled, we had to settle for simply two federal election cycle.
Well, speaking of politics, how many Republicans abroad are there compared to how many Democrats abroad are there? Is there a disparity? Or is it about the same?
Well, we have our opinions on that.
Right. What's the consensus view?
We Democrats think that that we have by considerable amount the largest and most muscular organization, and we also think that we bring in the larger share of the votes. But neither of us knows. You know, we are operating with absolutely no statistics. So you can say that both we and the Republicans are really faith-based organizations.
Right, I can see what you mean. So, but it wouldn't be unreasonable to assume then that a Republican-controlled Congress with a Republican president who has to sign the bill wouldn't go out of its way to make it easier for the predominantly Democratic overseas community to vote, would it?
Well, that would be a slightly cynical way of looking at it.
It would be only slightly cynical, that's right.
But inasmuch as my Republican friends are confident that most overseas voters are Republican.
Right.
That's a slightly contradictory situation.
So in fact, you overseas people are all agreed that it should be easier, but it might not. But if the Republicans in the legislature think that there's a predominant Democrats, they might act in a certain
way. If we and Republicans abroad had the choice, it would be a lot easier than it is.
Right. Okay.
We don't have much of a vote.
All right. So now we're on, but as we see, you do have some vote, at least for the candidates. This takes us to what we're going to focus on, which is the Pentagon's Secure Electronic Registration and Voting Experiment. How did you first hear about it? Were you officially notified in any way by the CERV program, which is run by the Federal Voting Assistance Program, or did you read about it, or how did you find out about it?
Well, of course, we all had heard about it as the Federal Voting Assistance Program had put out its press releases and had been in touch with all the organizations concerned. So,
right.
So we knew about it.
Well, did they ask you to help plan it in any way? Did they ask for any of your input?
I have no had no role in that,
okay.
as much as I have. I've been out of the
right.
Direct line of activity in this,
right.
so I can't answer that
okay.
question.
All right. So you don't know whether either the Republicans abroad or Democrats abroad were consulted in any way before it.
I really can't answer that. I don't know.
Okay. So you heard about it and you were notified by FVAP that it was there. What was your initial reaction to it?
Well, we, of course, from the outset, were very concerned about the integrity of the process.
Right.
We know how vulnerable Internet communication is because so much of our world communication depends upon Internet and email today.
Right.
And, of course, we're all conscious of the imagination of hackers who seem to be able to foul up the best of systems. So
right.
we were nervous about it, as you can imagine. And then we all read that report by the committee that had been appointed by the Department of Defense to review the program,
right.
to review CERB.
Right.
And that confirmed a lot of the anxieties which my colleagues in Democrats Abroad had. And it was, I think, at that point that the officers, the elected officers, decided that they would like to do what they could to remove this possible ambiguity from the November elections. We think the elections are going to be very close.
Right.
And we would rather not be in a situation in which our votes or Republican votes are in doubt because of some real or imagined flaw in the way those votes are delivered. And it seemed to us that we were on firmer ground and we would remove one of the dangers of conflict after Election Day if we stuck to the hard paper system that we've used in the past for the delivery of ballots to local election officers.
Okay, so what did the Democrats Abroad do to reach a formal decision on what they wanted to do?
I was not involved in that, but that decision was made by our executive committee,
okay.
Which is all the elected officers overseas.
Right.
And I was just asked to collaborate with other organizations that wanted to do something about it. To try and communicate our position to the Congress.
Okay, now in addition to the Republicans Abroad, according to the article in the Washington Post, there were a whole range of other organizations, ranging from the Federation of American Women's Club overseas, Association of American Residents overseas. Did you contact these people? Did they contact you? How did that go?
Well, we're all in touch pretty much all the time,
right.
One way or another, because we've got a number of overlapping issues like the question of the census of overseas Americans and tax questions.
Right.
So there's sort of an informal dialogue that goes on all the time.
Okay.
Of course, they read the newspapers just the way you and I do.
Right.
So the conversations that took place in Europe about this were among all of the
okay.
the principles involved.
All right.
So, you know, it's not surprising that they all came up with somewhat the same impression.
There are no renegade groups from this overseas voters for CERB. There is no such group. I mean, I haven't
seen anything
okay.
like that.
And what exactly, were you involved personally in contacting the Republicans, or did they come to the same conclusion and contact you? How did this unity take place?
Oh, that was fairly simple. I called Ryan King, who's their new executive director,
right.
and told him where we came out and asked him if we could work out a common position on this so that we could again present the Congress with a single position for overseas citizens. And Ryan was, you know, their group had already reached the same conclusion. They wanted to do something about it, so it was pretty easy.
Right. So you didn't have to convince them of anything. You just had to work out the details of the collaboration, essentially.
Well, we pretty much agreed on what we
right.
wanted to do.
Okay.
And
okay. Now, so what? what exactly have you done? What did you say in your letter? Who did you send it to, and what are you hoping to get out of it?
The letter is quite short, and we sent it to the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee and to the ranking member. We sent it to the Senate Committee on Rules and Administration, which is the committee that handled the HAVA, both to the chairman, Trent Lott, and to the ranking member, Christopher Dodd. And on the House side, we sent it to the chairman of the House Committee on Armed Services, to the ranking member, and then to Congressman Robert Nye, who's the chairman of the Committee on House Administration, which had been one of the wheel horses of getting the HAVA adopted to begin with, together with the ranking Democratic member. And our letter is very short. I can read it to you.
Why don't you read us the pertinent section?
Sure. Our two organizations, Democrats Abroad and Republicans Abroad, represent overseas Americans, both in the armed services and overseas citizens. We have long co-opted to make possible the increased participation by overseas Americans in our democratic process. We are committed to increasing the access by our overseas compatriots in our federal elections. It is against this background that we join to recommend that the Congress delay the planned experiment by the Department of Defense in overseas, in Internet voting, that is, CERV. We favor the introduction of any technology that will make absentee voting by members of the armed services and overseas citizens more accessible. But we believe that the present state of the art is sufficiently questionable to warrant a delay in trying this technology on our constituents as guinea pigs in what promises to be a very close election in November. We do not want to undermine confidence in our system of voting by discovering some real or imagined fraud in the November balloting. It would be preferable, we believe, to refer the question of the security of overseas Internet voting to the new Election Assistance Commission, which will have technical development committees to advise it on this important question. And it's signed by Joan Hill, who is the co-chairman of Republicans Abroad, and by Rochelle Valadares, who is the chair of Democrats Abroad.
Okay, and when did that letter go out?
Well, that was on the 27th, I think.
27th, okay. And today is the 31st. Have you gotten any responses from any of the people you sent it to yet?
There has been some response. It hasn't come to me. It's gone either to our officers overseas or to Rochelle herself, since she's the signatory on our part.
Right. Are you expecting congressional hearings or legislation to essentially close down the program or delay it, or what's your game plan for what you're trying to have happen next?
Well, we're waiting to see what kind of reactions we get. It's hard for someone who's not up on the Hill to try to figure out a game plan for what to do. The people out there who are concerned about this, and I think that most members will be concerned about the integrity of the system, have a much better idea about how to go about influencing the decision of the Department of Defense than we do. Now, you may have noticed that the Federation of Women, American Women's Clubs Overseas and the other organizations also appealed directly to Secretary Rumsfeld.
Right.
If Secretary Rumsfeld decides that it would be better to delay this experiment in view of the concerns that we have expressed, that, of course, would solve all the problems.
Now, is that within his authority? Do you know?
I suspect it is, because Federal Voting Assistance Program falls within his purview.
Right.
Now, I should also add that Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, who has been one of the most effective people in the entire Congress in support of Americans overseas, has also lent her support to the effort to delay this experiment.
What has she done so far to do that?
I haven't seen the details, but I think that she and her staff have been in touch with other members of the Congress.
Okay. Now, $22 million were appropriated to run CERV. if you had that money to improve the delivery and completion and return of absentee paper ballots, how would you spend it, or how could it be used, do you think, to improve the paper ballot approach to overseas voting?
Well, I think one of the most effective things might be simply advertising. The great problem that overseas citizens have is that they frequently don't know in time that they've got to get busy and register while their registration window is open. And very frequently, overseas voters wait too long, and they only become excited about the election after the registration period has closed in their states. And that is very discouraging for them. And it's the thing that we have tried to beat over the years by running advertising of our own.
But where do you run your advertising?
Well, we've advertised in the International Herald Tribune.
Right.
That was our first effort. But then we've expanded to advertising in Mexico, in English language and Spanish language publications in Mexico, as well as in Israel and in Japan, in Mexico. Or excuse me, and in Canada. So we've tried to advertise in the areas where the largest overseas population is to be found. Oh, and we've also advertised this last year in Stars and Stripes.
Right.
So we've gone out, try to alert people as far in advance as we can to the upcoming election, to tell them they've got to get registered if they want to vote. And I think that if the federal government were able to devote more of its resources to alerting overseas citizens to the upcoming election and to the importance of getting registered, that would probably be as effective as anything in the short time that we still have to improve the participation.
Okay, now just on our way out here, let me just sort of talk about the politics of it a little and the notoriety of it. While I was covering CERF since November, it really only reached public consciousness in a general way about 10 days ago when the report of the minority, so-called minority report, came out saying how dangerous it would be to use it. There are obviously other issues that keep more public attention on themselves than this one. Do you see this as an important issue overall, and what kind of strategies might you pursue to make it a more generally understood and discussed and eventually acted upon public issue in the U.S.?
Well, we think it's important. There's no question about that, or we would not have made this appeal to the members of Congress and to the Department of Defense to put this off until it's been further studied and the reliability of the system verified. I think that we are now in the hands of the Congress, which has a very good understanding of these issues and is faced with them all the time because of the concern about internet voting here in the United States. So I think that the people who have been alerted to this and whom we know are concerned about it are the ones who are most likely to be in a position to do something effective to get the delay in carrying out this experiment that we all would like to have. I think that's about it.
Okay. Of course, Congress people vote several times every day, and they owe their jobs to people who vote for them, so it's obviously something that has a lot of mind share for members of Congress. Voting does, so that could help. Any last thoughts about this? How likely do you think you're going are to be successful?
Well, Mr. Strassman, as a political pundit, I decline to make any guesses about outcomes. Those of us who have been following the political situation the last month or so realize how fallible we all are when it comes to foreseeing how political issues are going to be resolved.
That was the President Dean issue, wasn't it?
We're hopeful that the experiment which DOD wants to carry out will be put off, that wiser minds will convince them that we should not risk the validity of the outcome in November, and we'll just have to be confident that that will happen. We're going to continue to urge that.
Okay, I want to thank you for caring enough to do it and for talking to us about that today on the latest voting news, and this is the latest voting news for sure. So thanks very much, and don't hang up. I just wanted to say a few things off the air. So we're going to close the show and say again, thanks for talking to us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having an interest in something that's so important to our overseas constituents.
You're very welcome.